Hey everyone, welcome back to the Life by Taylor podcast where we learn and grow together. Before I start today's podcast episode, I want to share a few exciting updates on ways that we can work together and you can just deepen your experience working on yourself and getting support in your journey, growing and evolving in your life with me. So the first thing I want to say is I have a new free workshop coming up, the same way that I co-hosted the workshop with Jess and Kyle, where we did breath work and talked about money blocks. Something that is not always seen as such a spiritual thing, but in my opinion is at the root of every single human being's truth, is that we all have a deep desire to look and feel our best. And that can be controversial today because we really want to balance this idea that no one is less worthy for what they look like, and we should not feel less worthy when we look a certain way or feel a certain way. However, with that acceptance, we also want to invest in our health and our vitality and feel our best. If there's something that I learned in the last year where I got sick so often this winter, when I wasn't feeling so good mentally, where I wasn't in an environment that felt good to me, is that health is at the foundation of everything. When you don't feel good, none of this work matters. You can't build and become your best self or evolve in this lifetime, go after your dreams, if you don't feel physically good. So I reached out to one of my friends, Max, who was my former personal trainer when I lived in Tel Aviv. Max was one of the first guests I had on my podcast when I first started out. And Max and his fiance now, Mariana, moved to the States and they're starting a business where they're basically working together as a couple to help other couples get fit, feel good, and connect as a couple through that process. Now, for the free workshop, it's not going to be about couples. It's just going to be about how we can build more discipline when it comes to approaching our physical fitness. I'm really excited for this workshop because I kind of fell off the bandwagon when it comes to working out and feeling good in my body. So I'm really excited to hear what they have to share with us. I really value and respect Max as a person and his experience in this field. And I'm sure Mariana will also bring so much value to the table. I'm so, so excited for this. If you want to join this free workshop, the workshop is going to be on Wednesday, June 14th at 9 a.m. Pacific time. To join, all you have to do is click the link in my bio on Instagram or the link below in the podcast description, which also brings me to the next point that if you are in the WhatsApp community group for the Life by Taylor community, you will also get an invite there. So you have no worries. You can just join the group. That's a way to get all of the updates, all of the recommendations I have and resources that I stumble upon in my own experience. In the group, I share books that I'm reading, podcast episodes I'm listening to. I will try to be a little bit more active on there. I kind of needed some time to recoup, but I'm back and making a lot of plans for how I'm going to kind of create a system where I can keep up with all of these different streams and platforms for you guys. So you can join the WhatsApp group now. You can click the link below, also in the podcast description, to get more from me there. The last thing I want to say is that I'm currently in the process, still in the process, of putting together the next cohort of my group program. In my program, Journey to Your Truth, we really work together, an intimate group of people who get a lot of hands-on support from me and guidance from me, tools and wisdom to go after whatever it is they feel they are called to do. If it's a big dream, if it's a new career, if they are in a transition in life and they just really want to feel less alone in that. The group is the best place to get so much guidance and help from me at an affordable cost. So if you don't feel like you can do one-on-one coaching, the group is my way to really maximize my ability to help as many people as possible. I am fully booked for this week when it comes to discovery calls and really just interviewing people and seeing how I can put the best group together. But if you do want me to reach out so you can book a call as well, you can DM me on Instagram or you can also click the link below in the podcast description where it will give you a small form to just fill out your name, your phone number, and your email. That is it for the updates. I'm really excited to get into today's podcast episode and into the subject because I realized recently that most of my podcast episodes are what I'm working through in the present. And although there's a lot to learn from what I'm going through as I'm walking through my journey, there's a lot to learn from my past. There's a lot that I learned that helped shape me into who I am today that I don't really share on here because again, like this podcast, I do everything in such a flow without planning, without strategy. And it's really beautiful to watch how it's taking form and how it changes and evolves as I evolve. But recently I realized, wow, there's so much that I can talk about when it comes to relationships and love. And I guess having people reach out to me and ask me so many questions about how to attract a partner and how to find love and how to experience true love, because they feel as they watch me and my current boyfriend that what we have is that true love that people are desiring and seeking in this lifetime. So I took some time to really reflect on this one. I normally just get on here and talk from my heart because it is something that's happening in the present. But this one actually took a little bit of digging deep into the archives of my heart and sitting with this question: what is true love and how do we attract true love? And ultimately, how did I go from being someone who never thought she would experience true love, never believed it was possible, didn't even believe it was a real thing, was very pessimistic about it all, coming from a home that was broken and just never having male attention in that way as I was a teenager? I really felt like it wasn't available to me and that it was just something that is made up. How did I go from that to opening my heart to experiencing deep love and deep heartbreak and deep connection with more than one human in my lifetime? So I came up with a few lessons and tips and experiences I want to share with you guys that I think will really, really help not only those of you who have never experienced it, but also helping those of you who are in a relationship and want to deepen the connection, deepen the love, maybe preserve it. There's so many things about this that, you know, it's not just for people who are looking to find a partner. It's also about how do I sustain and maintain and tend to the flower of love in my relationship and in this connection with this human. So let's start from the beginning. Growing up, I actually used to say, I remember saying this when I was much younger, probably when I was like 14, 15, up until my first boyfriend, and I'll tell you the story. I used to say, I'm going to end up alone. I'm going to be a single mom. I might do like sperm donation. Like, I really, really did not picture or imagine or even believe that I could be loved by a man, that I was girlfriend material, wife material. It was very deeply embedded inside of me that that's not something that I believe in. It's not something that I want. Obviously, I was speaking from a lot of pain, a lot of fear, a lot of insecurity, and just this belief that I'm not lovable, I'm not worthy of love, and that nobody would ever be trustworthy enough to let into my heart. And I went into the world, you know, just asking and begging for male attention for the wrong reasons in the wrong ways, and never in a way where I respected myself or saw myself as worthy of love and affection and attention. So I had a lot of trauma around that from 14 until my first relationship. Now, I moved to Israel when I was 18 years old. I was single and stayed single until I was, I think, 21 is when I experienced my first true deep love experience. And I remember the night that I met my first boyfriend, I was sitting with two girlfriends at a bar right before he appeared and showed up to the bar, just unplanned. I remember talking to them about how I said, yeah, I just don't think I'm girlfriend material. I'm really just not someone who prioritizes, focuses on, thinks about finding a man, getting into a relationship, having love. I was always boy crazy. Yeah? Like, I was always obsessed with men and male attention. But again, that's very different than wanting and craving and believing that I can have love. The first night that I met my first boyfriend, let's call him S. S came, and when he sat down, we had this really intense connection, this eye contact that really felt like love at first sight. And that's what it was. It was so overwhelming. It cracked my heart open. The experience of loving this person and being loved by this person was probably one of the most transformational experiences of my life, because it taught me that I can be loved and that I have so much love to give. It showed me how worthy I am of it and how incredible it is to share life with someone, to love someone, to just experience things with someone who you adore and who you love spending time with. Those 2 years of my first relationship, we lived together, we traveled together, we were so, so deeply in love, and that love really taught me. And I'm so grateful to him because he came from a very different background, a different life where his parents were very much in love his entire life. So he was the most beautiful teacher for me, really just showing me what love can be like and what it should feel like. And I always say that I'm so grateful that he set the standard for me. He really showed me how deep I can go and how open my heart can be. What I wanted to say from that is that, you know, we're always saying, you know, when you're not looking for it, when you least expect it, but it really is true. If you put your focus on the things that are fully in your control, if you really put your attention in other areas of your life, I did it from a place that was actually rooted in fear and insecurity. But just practically speaking, I could say that every single partner I had, which I had like four serious boyfriends or three serious boyfriends now, I can say all of them came into my life unexpectedly. I have never been on a date. I never met someone through an app. I never went and sat and had drinks with someone. And people can say, yeah, it's not like that where I'm from. I met guys and I fell in love in Tel Aviv. I fell in love in LA. I've fallen in love in Israel. I've fallen in love in Austria. It really doesn't matter. It's not about where you are and any excuse that you have for following your truth in that sense doesn't make sense. It's not rooted in truth. If you're someone who enjoys dates, by the way, and that's something that you have a good time doing and you feel like you can show up authentically in that context, of course, there's nothing wrong with it. But I know so many people that force themselves to go on dates, force themselves into this experience that just doesn't feel true to them, that they have a really hard time showing up authentically for. And that's how I felt. So I just want to validate that it doesn't have to be through dating. Anyways, opening my heart to love also led to opening my heart and experiencing heartbreak and seeing that love isn't always butterflies and rainbows. And eventually, I'm just giving you a little timeline about my experience before I break down some of my tips and lessons and advice. Eventually, I experienced heartbreak. I experienced betrayal. I fell in love again. I realized the difference between toxic love and true love and attachments. And wow, I've lost myself in relationships. I've grown in relationships and found myself in relationships. I've gone through so many things when it comes to my life experience, my spiritual growth in relation to others. And I would say that my biggest lessons and my deepest pain has been through those experiences. It's very clear to me that that's just a part of my story and part of my life. And that's why I feel so called to share. And I'm not going to go into each one of the relationships and what they taught me. I actually wanted to do an episode about what I learned from different types of love and relationships, but this is more general and I want to skip to the part of where I am today and what I have learned from all of these past experiences. So this is my philosophy on love that has led me to attract and experience really deep connection and really soulful love with other human beings. And I'm excited to share it with you guys. So rule number one is that love has no rules. What does that mean? People come to me all the time and are like, yeah, it's only been a month, so this can't happen. And it's only been this, so I don't know if that. And I always tell people, like, love has no rules. There's no rule book. There's no strategy for love. It's not something that someone else can define for you or explain to you how and when. And it just doesn't work that way. So deep connection and love in general, not just in romantic relationships, is not measured in time. I've met people in this past year that I feel closer with and more comfortable with and more loved by than people I've known my entire life. Deep connection is not measured in time, and it cannot be defined or explained or worked through based on these arbitrary rules that we hear on TikTok and that we even hear from dating experts and experts on relationships. Your own experience opening and experiencing love has no rules. So any rule that you're carrying around in your mind about what's right and what's wrong and what should be and what can't be, drop them, all of them. That is where true love can penetrate into your heart, where you can really open yourself to experiencing it. So speaking of the heart, it really is a matter of living from the heart space, which means opening yourself to faith, opening yourself to be vulnerable enough to let go of the thinking that is always there. In every single one of my relationships, you know, I've dated very different types of people, very different experiences in all of them. And for example, one of my long-term boyfriends, he was disabled, he was blind. And when I started to feel love for him, when my heart started to open to him, I was his assistant helping him with school. My mind was telling me, like, this can't work. This isn't good for you, this is wrong, this is that, whatever, all these stories. And a lot of people find love and their mind starts to do that mind chatter thing, trying to protect them, trying to define this person, judging, criticizing, whatever. And they close their heart. I don't regret dating that man. I dated him for almost 2 years. I loved him so much. And even though it ended up very badly, he hurt me and things happened, I needed that experience. I needed that experience for the evolution of my love life. And people are going into relationships or going into dating like, can I be with this person forever? Not every relationship is for forever. Not all love is meant to be in your life forever. So trust yourself to experience the love that your heart is opening to and your heart is craving in the present. Go there, surrender to it, jump into it. There is so much to learn and gain and experience by living that way. And people go into it like it's a strategy, like, oh, well, he's blind, so then how will this work? Oh, this guy's not Jewish, so how will we get married? You're not getting married. You're not having children yet. It's not happening yet. Be in the moment. Let yourself feel the love fully. Follow your heart. This entire journey of attracting and experiencing and going into these experiences has to come from the heart space. You have to put your mind in the back seat and not let it talk you out of these experiences. So the next thing I want to say is to let go of your type. Not an easy one. There are two reasons for this. The attachment to the type of person you think is best for you can lead you to missing out on the person you need in this moment, or the person that you can love that you could have never imagined loving. And the second part of this is that we think, we create this story of I'm only attracted to guys like this, I'm only attracted to guys like that, or girls like this and that, or girls that look a certain way and act a certain way, whatever it is. And what we're doing is we are closing ourselves to the truth, which is that true love overrides anything you could have made up in your mind, period. True love does not care what your Pinterest board looks like, and true love doesn't care what your ego made up to be the perfect guy or girl for you. And yes, it's okay to have personal preference. It's okay to say, yeah, I prefer this over that, but I'm open to everything. That's what I recommend doing is if you are so sure that there's a specific type of person aesthetically or whatever that you're looking for, at least open it to, but I'm also willing to be wrong. I'm also willing to love someone that I cannot imagine in my mind hypothetically. This leads me to the point on attraction that so many people ask me about, like, how can I build attraction? Attraction is so important to me. If there's one thing I've learned dating guys of all different shapes and sizes and walks of life, it's that attraction is not something that true, genuine attraction, by the way, not the surface level, superficial, initial attraction you have to someone, but real attraction, sexual attraction, physical attraction, isn't just what you see on the surface. And it definitely can develop and evolve. In the experience I had with my ex who was blind, he was injured in the army. His whole face was deformed. And when I was working for him, I couldn't imagine seeing him in a way that's attractive. Truly, it was actually very difficult for me to look at him at first. And as our relationship evolved and developed and my love for him deepened, I saw him as really one of the most attractive people ever. I think it was a relationship, probably until this one, where I felt the most highest levels of attraction physically. So that doesn't mean you have to force yourself to be physical with someone or pretend to be attracted to them when you're not. But I am here to tell you that just because someone isn't objectively good looking to the entire world and all of your girlfriends and society and your initial egoic attachment to what physical appearance should look like, what a man's physical or a woman's physical appearance should look like, you gain so much from letting that go and being proven otherwise. Mostly because the dance of a relationship is really the dance with the self through the form of another human. And when you can see, wow, like I can really see the beauty in this human being, I can see the attractiveness of this person despite the fact that they may be shorter than I wanted, or they might be balding, or they might have this or whatever it is, or this girl might be not the type that I want physically. It helps you realize how true that is when it applies to you and all of the things that you think make you unattractive and not beautiful. You start to experience what the truth is, that love does not have these judgments, that love does not have these ideas that we're fed and constantly being told all around us. And that is a beautiful experience, an opportunity for you to experience true love. True love does not mean only in the romantic setting, but to experience the truth of love, the truth of what love can do, which is love can make everything beautiful. Love can bring acceptance and freedom into everything. And that is what we should seek when we're seeking partnership, when we're seeking the relationship, is truth. Truth and love are really synonymous to me. Most of the time we're going out into the world and we want someone who looks a certain way or has a certain physical appearance or a certain status or job or whatever it is we're walking into dating and relationships and attracting someone into our life with all these conditions. Most of the time it's coming from a place where we think that this person having this thing is increasing my sense of self-worth. If I don't feel intellectual and I feel insecure about not having a certain degree or a certain level of academic achievement, and I set out to be with someone who graduated from an Ivy League school and has this prestigious job, it is most likely because I want to increase my sense of self-worth by association with that person. If I'm a man who doesn't find himself attractive and who feels deeply insecure about the way he looks, I need a really attractive woman by my side to basically, as like a token of, yes, I can also fill the box of worthiness and physical attraction. So it's not easy to go there, but if you sit with that part of you that is telling you, this person isn't worthy of loving because they don't have X amount of money in their bank account. This person isn't worthy of me loving them because they don't meet these standards and these conditions. That is a feast for your ego. That is a feast for the part of you that is not rooted in truth about love. It's the part of you that is telling you the same thing about yourself, and you are feeding into that. Now, this is not to be mistaken for the fact that we need certain things to have a functional and healthy lifelong relationship. But I don't go into every relationship thinking about it being for life, because that can kill the seed of the love between you and that person. That can kill an experience that you need to have. There have been people I dated in the past who have been essential to my experiences and my life and my growth that I was not meant to be with for life. And a lot of people miss out on those experiences and those types of love because they're only looking for someone for life. When it comes to a lifelong partner, which I have not had yet because I try to stay in the present and I cannot speak on behalf of someone who has been with someone for 20 or 30 years. But of course, I still have to use my mind in certain areas where I ask myself, do our values align? Can I see a shared vision for the future together? Financially, does this look sustainable and possible? And the thing is, it's very tricky because I try my best not to judge a person where they are at and really try to ask myself, does this person have the potential, the desire, the ambition, the raw materials needed for these things as well? I think of someone like my dad who, when my mom met him, started with nothing. And obviously there were qualities and traits about him that made her feel safe as a woman, made her feel like he can take care of her, made her feel like he can provide for her. So yes, it's not really about judging someone based on their achievements and their current reality so harshly. I see so many things online and on TikTok where it's like, if a man can't pay for you and if a man doesn't have money, then he's not a real man, blah, blah, blah. He's not a quality man. To me, that's just sad. And it's really feeding into this idea that people do not deserve to be loved and do not deserve to have love until they've achieved certain things and certain external accomplishments, which simply does not ring true to me at all. That entire narrative is also linked to the narrative that we tell people all the time. You have to love yourself before you can love someone else. Being in a healthy partnership, being in a partnership with someone who has reflected back to me the most loving and admirable parts of who I am has been essential in my self-love journey. And a lot of times, having someone to hold your hand in the process of becoming more loving toward yourself is beautiful and it is so powerful. And it doesn't need to happen behind the scenes on your own. Like so many people put themselves into this little shame cave where they're working on themselves to prepare themselves for their partner. Guess what? Even when you sit and do the work and work on yourself and love yourself, and if you sit in your house and don't leave your house for 3 years and do all the self-help, and then you decide to go out into the world to find someone, that person is going to meet those parts of you as well. They are parts of your journey, and I have learned that you can't get rid of anything, any part of you forever. It's always going to be a part of you. And to create this narrative or this foundation for a relationship where I created a version of myself that is worthy of being loved and those parts of me they weren't is so toxic to ourselves. Because those parts of you that didn't love you, those parts of you that were experiencing so much shame and insecurity and feelings of unworthiness, they deserved love too. Tucking them into a drawer, shoving them under the carpet and going out into life and love is not going to do it. So when I say be open to love, it's at any stage in any part of your journey. Do not be attached to a timeline that your ego created about when and how it's supposed to come into your life. Maybe this year of your life is not the time to meet your partner. Maybe you're going to meet your partner tomorrow when you wanted to take a year to be alone. Don't pretend like you have any control or any idea about when and how these things happen. And that is something that, you know, I would say, yeah, I'm going to take some time to myself. But if my heart was being drawn to someone, I wouldn't say, no, this is the time for me to be by myself. Like, I was open. That's what I mean by being open, and vice versa. If I set out and said, yeah, I'm actually kind of in the mood to date and meet someone, and I saw it's just not happening and it's not flowing and I'm forcing it or I'm putting too much effort into it, I let go and said, okay, well, let's just go back to other things in my life that I feel like doing and focusing on, because someone will eventually be drawn to me or I'll be drawn to them in divine timing in a divine setting that I need. And this is not the time, obviously. Every experience of love with another person we attract into our life is really just God in different forms. And I carried a lot of shame at one point for having a lot of quote unquote failed relationships, whatever that means. I mean, I'm almost 30 years old and I've had 4 boyfriends. I don't think it's so extreme, but I think just the fact that they happened in a short window of time makes it seem on the outside and also to myself like, oh, wow, like there have been a lot of guys and this and love and experiences and drama, but I've learned to accept that each one of those men were God in human form. They are all part of the same source. They all came from the same place to teach me something, to challenge me, to love me deeply, to guide me on my journey, to hold my hand at different stages of my journey. And being in a relationship today and removing the pressure of it needing to be for life makes it more likely that it can last for life because I don't feel forced to. I don't feel like it has to for it to be good, for it to be worth opening my heart to. All love is vulnerable. There's no way to strategically go about it in a way where you guarantee you won't get hurt or you won't hurt someone. And when you realize that even when it's temporary, even if it won't last forever, it's still worth going there. It's still worth diving deep and opening yourself fully. That's when you can get the closest to the truth about what love is really here for. Love is who we are. Love is the deepest truth within us. We don't even love ourselves 100% of the time or feel like we love ourselves 100% of the time because we drift away from that truth, but that is our truth, that we are love and the people coming into our life, they are also love. And love teaches us lessons and love helps us grow and love nourishes us and love is such a beautiful, magical part of life if you can let yourself experience it for what it is now. Without needing to know how the story ends, without letting your mind get in the way of what you thought and what you think and how it's supposed to look like. And if you really surrender into it, it is the scariest, but most exhilarating, exciting, beautiful, transformative force we have in this world. My deepest philosophy on love is that there are no mistakes in the act of love. If I'm doing things from a place of love, if I'm doing things lovingly, then there's no way it can be wrong. There's no way that I'm making a mistake. There's no way that it's not supposed to happen. because love is truth. And if I let myself just flow into the stream of that truth, then I will come out closer to the truth within me. I will come closer to the love inside of me. Lately, I've refined my definition of true love, where when I was younger, I felt like I glamorized love as a feeling and thought that it always needs to feel good and exciting and sparkly. And today, love is teaching me that true love shared with another person is learning to accept parts of them that you don't necessarily love and receiving that in return. It's a solid foundation where you know that there is love there, even in the hardest moments, even in the darkest times, individually and as a couple. There is something binding you that is stronger than anything your mind is telling you and anything that is temporary, because true love is eternal. Experiencing love in this way has given me hope, honestly, as someone who was so skeptical of if true love exists and if couples can last and if marriage is something that I want. I am seeing that the truth is that the true love that I saw in movies or that I had in my mind, this glamorous, exciting, sparkly idea of love, is not real. And the true love that I'm describing now is, and it makes me feel safe. It makes me feel safe and confident and optimistic that two people who understand this can really build a beautiful lifelong partnership and family together. So I'm going to leave you with this. Let go of the rules. Let go of the ideas. Let go of the type. Notice the fear and dive, jump, take the leap to open your heart, to have faith, to believe, to know that true love is real. And true love is all around us. And we get in the way of letting it penetrate. We get in the way of letting it in. Only we do that. And love is all around us, everywhere, in everything, in so many moments of our day, because love is who we are. Love is in everything. I want to thank anyone who made it this far. Say thank you so much for listening to this podcast episode. I feel like it's a different style for me to talk about things from the past that I hope to get better at as I continue digging through the archives of my past experiences and pulling from those experiences any wisdom and lessons that I can teach you guys. If there's anything you wanted to hear in this episode that you didn't get from it, that you think I could help you with, please reach out, message me. I would love to hear your questions. I would love to give you more advice that's more personal, or maybe to answer to some of the questions on your heart. And if you haven't already, please rate the podcast on whatever platform you're listening to it. It definitely helps and just feels good to receive love and feedback. If you like this podcast episode, please screenshot it. Just share the love with someone else in your life. I appreciate every single one of you for being here. I hope to see more of you in the WhatsApp group, on the free workshops, joining the group program. We're just getting started. So thank you guys so much. I love you, love you, love you. Have a beautiful week. Bye-bye.